In another delay in efforts to end the war in Iran, Republican House leadership pulled the War Powers Resolution vote for a second day in a row, amid growing concerns in the party that the measure could pass due to GOP defections and absences. Democrats, however, had packed the floor prepared to vote, unaware the measure had been pulled, until an inquiry from Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern.
Mr. Speaker, can you explain to the members of the chamber what is happening with the Iran War Powers resolution that was scheduled to be voted on this evening?
The gentleman have a parliamentary question?
That is my parliamentary inquiry. I just want to know what has happened with the Iran War Powers resolution.
The gentleman may consult with your leadership regarding scheduling.
Randy Weber, serving as Speaker pro tem, delivered the response that led Democrats to erupt on the floor.
Mr. Speaker, further parliamentary inquiry. Are we not voting on it because the American people are sick and tired of this illegal war that is costing tens of billions of dollars? Gas prices are through the roof. People can't afford their groceries. Is that why you're pulling it? You guys don't have the guts or the balls.
The House will be in order. This House will be in order. The chair is prepared to move on to the next question.
Today marks the second delay of the vote by Republican leadership in the House. The move comes 2 days after the Senate advanced its version of the War Powers Resolution in a 50-47 vote that reflected growing Republican support for the measure. The resolution advanced due to 4 Republican crossover votes and 3 Republican absences, leading it to pass despite John Fetterman being the only Democrat to vote no. Tuesday's vote marked the 8th attempt by the Senate to pass the resolution. Today would have marked the House's 4th attempt after its last vote ended in a tie, with Republicans Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania and Tom Barrett of Michigan breaking ranks to join Democrats. The resolution sponsor, Gregory Meeks, says he believes there are enough Republican votes to pass the measure that would attempt to limit Donald Trump's ability to continue U.S. military involvement abroad without congressional approval. Meeks shared this plea.
We have not held one single public hearing. Not one witness, not 1 hour of testimony on a war that has cost the American people tens of billions of dollars. Congress cannot abandon its constitutional responsibility over matters of war and peace and reduce itself. We should not be reducing ourselves to be a rubber stamp. And that's why we must vote yes.
This week's developments signal a shift in Republican support for continued U.S. involvement in the war, particularly among conservatives, who argued their support was limited to the 60-day window outlined in the 1973 War Powers Resolution. Under the law, Congress can require a president to end military involvement in conflicts not authorized by Congress after 60 days, unless lawmakers approve an extension or formally declare war, a deadline more than a month overdue. KPFA News spoke with North Bay Congressman Jared Huffman, who believes that once the bill reaches the House floor, it could pass.
We're right on the cusp, and we're going to keep pushing these votes and demanding them because it's a privileged resolution under the War Powers Act, so they have to let it come to a vote. And a number of us have, you know, just introduced a sort of a pipeline of these resolutions to make sure that we'll have a chance every single week until this happens.
Congressman Huffman, we are now more than 80 days into the U.S.-Israel war in Iran, and while there has been limited public information and congressional oversight, some details have emerged through the Pentagon's fiscal year 2027 budget hearings. What are your big takeaways, especially as the Pentagon is requesting roughly a 42% increase over last year's budget?
Right. And this is the part where as much as they think they can avoid Congress and because of this inept Republican majority, they've been able to avoid congressional approval for over 2 months, but they can't do that forever. For this reason, they need money. And this is why they have to come and get a vote of Congress that will either give them the money or say no. So I am looking forward to that. That will be an opportunity for some accountability and some tough answers. But there's an alarming number of my Republican colleagues ready to just write a blank check for hundreds of billions of dollars for this open-ended quagmire. I don't think you'll see very many, if any, Democrats going along with that.
There's actually been concerns among Republicans that portions of the military budget could be acquired through reconciliation. In addition to that, there is another reconciliation proposal to fund ICE and Trump's ballroom project, which critics say is an effort to sidestep Congress. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a way to sidestep the filibuster in the Senate, basically. That's what, when we talk about reconciliation, what that really is a bill that is supposed to be about the budget, about expenditures and revenues, which is sort of a unique carve-out to the Senate's 60-vote requirement for everything else that's just policy. So, yeah, it's conceivable that they could add this into the budget reconciliation that they're trying to push through the Senate, which right now is focused on ICE and Homeland Security, and they're trying to fund these agencies for multiple years without any guardrails or accountability. Democrats are not supporting that, except for, you know, maybe one in the Senate. But they've got a tough road, both with the Senate parliamentarian and just with the politics of things like the ballroom, which is starting to unravel. And Donald Trump's not making himself any friends in the Senate as he endorses against John Cornyn, for example. So it's not hard to imagine them falling short of any reconciliation package, let alone one that now would be bloated with $200 billion or so for a war that no one knows why we're fighting or how the heck we're going to get out of.
Going back to the war powers vote, Marco Rubio has made his views on Cuba very clear, and CNN is reporting increased U.S. military surveillance flights near Cuba that appear similar to aerial patterns seen before U.S. operations in Venezuela and prior to the attacks in Iran. Do you have any insight into whether the United States may be preparing for another military operation, this time in Cuba?
No insights or inside information, Lauren, but a terrible sinking feeling that that's exactly where we're heading because, you know, they have said the quiet part out loud after, you know, they were spiking the football and doing all their victory laps on Maduro. All of them were saying Cuba's next. So we should believe them. And that is just a very daunting thing to think about. I don't know what it would mean militarily. I just know that I don't think the American people want to see us running around the world just taking over countries and abducting foreign leaders. It's crazy. It's unthinkable.
As a result of the war, your district is now seeing some of the highest gas prices in California, a state that already has the highest fuel prices in the nation. At the same time, oil has begun flowing again through a pipeline shutdown after the devastating 2015 oil spill along the Santa Barbara coast. What does restarting that pipeline mean for California, environmental protections, and how is California's congressional delegation continuing to respond?
So this is one of this situation in Santa Barbara. It's the Sable Corporation's pipeline, which, as you mentioned, has a terrible safety record, has spilled. It's been shut down by the state of California because it's in state waters. But this is one of several instances in which the Trump administration is using this emergency authority called the Defense Production Act. And they use other authorities, emergency authorities as well. And they're claiming that the war in Iran that they started has created an energy crisis and a national security emergency that requires them to basically shut down all environmental law compliance and to take this extraordinary step of ordering a company to restart and operate a pipeline that has been shut down by a state court. So these are wildly controversial moves. They did it in the Gulf of Mexico with what you may have heard about the God Squad, where they suspended all Endangered Species Act compliance for whales and turtles and anything else involving oil and gas drilling. So now the ESA no longer applies to the oil and gas industry in the Gulf of Mexico and until a court rules otherwise. And now they're testing that same extension of fake emergency authority on the California coast, where they're trying to, with this pipeline, kind of create a test case for this emergency authority. And if it works, you know, it's being fought right now in court, of course, but if it works, that's how they intend to order a massive expansion of offshore drilling up and down the coast.
Thank you for joining us on the Pacifica Evening News, Congressman Jared Huffman.
Thanks for checking in. There'll be more drama next week, I'm sure.
That was North Bay Representative Congressman Jared Huffman, whose district spans from the Golden Gate Bridge north to the Oregon border. Capitol Hill is now in a Memorial Day recess, and the next attempt at a war powers resolution is expected after lawmakers return in June. But the question remains, if Congress does pass a war powers resolution, will they be able to enforce it? For KPFA News, I'm Lauren Schmidt.